The power of leadership. Now, sometimes you imagine Jesus from his lowly background, almost a no social status person. He had a father or a foster father who was a carpenter, had a mother who was a simple Mary. They were not known in society. They were not ranked or rated as the high-class people in society. And so Jesus came from such a background. And to make matters worse, he was born not in the best of places around. Today, people who have money, when they are wives or when they are pregnant, they travel abroad to go give birth, not necessarily because of the medical expertise available there, but so that their children will be named or will be given right of citizenship of such country. And then you hear somebody boast, I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm a UK citizen by birth. Now, that adds to his social CV. But Jesus didn't have such a landing. He landed in the meanest of places. But can you imagine the same Jesus that had no status, as it were, commanded followership? Thousands and thousands of people will always crowd around him. He spoke to men who were older than him in age, and they dropped their livelihood and followed him. They followed him, and none of them broke away. Even Judas, who attempted to betray him, later regretted his action. Now, all of that was owing to the power of leadership. So if you carry the charisma, the competence, the confidence, and the grace, your status, your age, your background is not a factor. There is something that commands people to follow you. The day that David killed Goliath, that same day, the heart of the people was torn to him. Even though he was small, but there was power around his leadership. That when Saul died and David was finally enthroned as the king of Israel, people came to him and said, even when Saul was alive, you are the one that was taking us out and bringing us in. In other words, we were waiting for such a day as this where you will be publicly pronounced our king, and then we will just follow you. So if David had decided to break away then, he would have generated or would have created or started a new kingdom for himself. And he would have had large followers. The power of leadership. God planned the church to function in leadership with effectiveness in connection to God. And leadership is one of God's major concerns, especially leadership development in the kingdom. You see, the position of the church by God is the position of leadership. The church is supposed to provide leadership to the world and not the other way around. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Matthew, can a man light a candle and put it under a bushel and expect people to see? And he said, no, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. Glorify God means following God because of your good works. Christians are supposed to be the light of the world. Christians are supposed to be the salt of the earth. So the position of the church of God is the position of leadership. And the church of God is not the four walls of this building. The church of God is you and I, Christ being the head of the church, and we constitute the body of the church. And everywhere you go, you should provide leadership. You see, God does not take glory in the failure of his people. When the church fails, it doesn't bring glory to him. When the people of God fail, it doesn't bring glory to God. So he wants you to be in that position where you are providing leadership. You may not carry a leadership title, but yet you are providing leadership. Leadership is not about title. Leadership is a life. It's an outflow of life. It flows from you. You don't bear the title, and yet people see it. They come to you for counsel. They come to you for advice. They may even leave those who carry titles. Praise God. Your understanding of the subject of leadership from God's perspective will help you to have a grip on God's plan and purpose for you. God is often leadership conscious. God is after leadership. So never let the devil deceive you that God is not interested in you being righteous. God is after leadership. Don't let the devil deceive you that he says you need to be humble. He said there is a time you follow, and as you keep following, it will naturally trigger off the instinct of leadership in you. You follow and follow. If you follow well, you will naturally get to a point where you want to lead. It's not a wrong instinct. Amen. God's plan is to infuse the world with kingdom leadership that will move nations and countries in the world into the center of God's will and purpose for them. Kingdom leadership is not just having people around. It is helping them fulfill the counsel of God and bringing nations and regions of the world to the will of God. Kingdom leadership is not just having followership. Kingdom leadership is not just having people around. It's not having the crowd. Because a lot of time people are moved by the crowd. People are becoming popular because of the crowd. They said, show me the number of people you are pastoring and I will tell what kind of leader you are. Kingdom leadership is not about people being around. Kingdom leadership is about leading the people to fulfill the counsel of God for their lives. Bringing them into the center of the will of God for their life. That's what kingdom leadership entails. That's what kingdom leadership would demand of you. Bringing the nations, bringing the people, bringing all the regions of the world to understanding what God is doing. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, the disciples of Jesus were baptized by the Spirit of God, and they began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible said that men around those regions, they all came out. They were amazed at the fact that those guys were speaking in their native dialect. And they began to wonder. And the summary of their amazement was that those guys were drunk. And now you won't stop the world to think the way they want to think. You won't have control over their opinion. But kingdom leadership demands that from their opinion, you will bring them to the center of God's will for them. They thought in their heart and assumed that those guys were drunk. And then Peter rose up. That's kingdom leadership. And began to speak to them. I said, ye men of Galilee, ye men of Jerusalem, do not think that these men are drunk, because they couldn't be drunk by this time of the day. But this is a fulfillment of what was written in the prophet Joel, that in the latter days God will pour forth his Spirit upon all flesh. So this is what you are saying. And he went on and on and on and on. And when he was through, 3,000 persons had their hearts changed immediately. 3,000 persons understood the language and they came to God, coming to the center of God's will. And so that begins to tell you that there was a reason why God asked them to go to the upper room and wait, so that everyone will be able to hear, and by that they will come to God. Praise the Lord. So kingdom leadership would demand that you bring people to the will of God. It's not having people around. Sometimes people are not excited if they give them a small group to handle. They give you a group of five. Say, be the leader of this group of five. Oh, you see some people, they are so angry with themselves and they are so angry with whoever has given them such appointment. Why are you giving me five persons to handle? I wish they gave me 20 persons. I should be a pastor over 20 persons. And so they are not excited. They will not give their best because they feel the group is too small. I should be taking care of more numbers. Kingdom leadership is not about that. It's about pushing the few that you have, bringing them into the will of God. Jesus had an immediate 12 people in his congregation. And he ensured that he brought those people up to the point that when he left, people were wondering at them. I said, I know Peter, I know James, I know John. In fact, I remember when we used to fish together. I remember how it was difficult for them to speak English. But look at how they are turning the world upside down. Because there was a leader who brought them into the will of God for their lives. And let me also say it, that it is one thing for a leader to want to bring you to the will of God, and it is another thing for you to respond. Now, you will notice that in the same church where Jesus was pastoring, Judas was a betrayer. Judas was a thief. Another disciples became something relevant. So how you respond to kingdom leadership will also determine how far you go in the kingdom. Amen. It takes leadership to conquer yourself. It takes leadership to obey God and become what God wants you to be. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, 28 to 31. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. I'd like you to note that. It said, take heed to yourself. Be careful of yourself. Take care of yourself. It's not talking about eat good food. Even though that is not out of it. Before you begin to say, after all, the Bible said that I should take care of myself. And so you go to a program with your members as a choir leader, and they give 30 bottles of malt. And you say, the Bible said, take heed to yourself. And so you take 15. You want to take care of yourself first. Now, that's not what the Bible is talking about. God is saying that you must be able to conquer yourself. As a leader, conquer yourself. Now, you need to become a wife before you are even married. You need to become a husband before you get a wife. You need to have generated the virtue of a father before you become a father. Take heed to yourselves and then to all the flock. So number one, as a leader, you have responsibility to yourself, and then you have responsibility to the people. Because a lot of times you have seen some leaders give up everything they have because of the people they are leading. So they will lead the people well and they will lead themselves wrong. Praise God. Now, it will be a failure if you lead people to heaven and you didn't get to heaven. You would have failed. And you know what Paul said. He said, as I preach, I take care and watch over myself, lest I will preach the gospel and at last I will become a castaway. Amen. So, you have a responsibility to yourself. Discipline yourself. Deal with issues in yourself. The issues of negligence, deal with it. The issues of laziness, deal with it. Before you begin to preach it, deal with it. And then you have a responsibility to the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And Paul was trying to admonish them that when I leave here, there are people that will come and preach a different message to you. That's why you need to be careful. You need to take care of yourself. You need to learn all there is to learn, because it is not only your pastor that you will listen to. There are other people that will talk to you, but if you listen to your pastor well, you'll be able to listen to others through how you listen to your pastor. He said, I know that people will come, wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. There are those who will come with their selfish interest to benefit everything they can from the flock. To take away from you without giving you anything. To take your money, take your joy, take everything away from you. And yet, sparing you nothing. 30. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So you also careful that even amongst yourself, there are people that will rise up and say nonsense. There are people that will rise up and begin to say, no, I don't believe in what these people are doing. You will notice that it was the same people that Moses suffered for. Those were the same people that went to Aaron and told Aaron, build us another God. Because this man, Moses, we don't know what has become of him. They demanded for another gods. Speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. 31. Therefore, watch.
Therefore, do what?
Watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Praise God. Remember that I have warned you ahead. So watch. Be careful. As a kingdom leader, avoid the weakening activities. As a leader, you must take heed to yourself. You cannot afford to behave like other people. You must develop yourself to the maximum demands of leadership that God requires of you. Develop yourself. Don't be a child every day. Now you get to a point where you don't need a follow-up to serve God. You don't need an encouragement to serve God. Get to that point where you become an encourager to yourself. You follow yourself up. You deal with yourself. You don't need somebody to encourage you anymore. You get to that point where you don't need preaching to give tithe. You don't need preaching to give good offering. You don't need it anymore because you now understand what it takes. Take heed to yourself. You don't need for somebody to force you to serve God. And said, you see, you didn't come to Bible study for 3 weeks now. If you don't come again next week, you will stop singing and then you begin to come. Now, you must grow beyond that point where you begin to encourage yourself. The Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. You rise up on your own and said, no, I'm moving on. Nobody's going to force me to do this. Praise God. Avoid the weakening activities of the devil. The devil wants to weaken every Christian so that he will prevent them from fulfilling their destiny. There are weakening activities such as tolerance for mediocrity and error, compromise of standards. All of this will make you weak and reduce the potency of leadership in you. Tolerance, compromises here and there. Say, okay, don't worry, we can manage it. If you will be God's leader, you must pay attention to details. Because God is a God of details. Keeping to details may be demanding. But as a leader, you must take an extra interest in being detailed. Otherwise, you may cross God somewhere in your journey. Example, Moses striking the rock instead of picking. Uzzah supporting the ark so that it will not fall. As a kingdom leader, you must pay attention to details. I've seen some people do things carelessly. And there's nothing that pains my heart like that. When I see people do things carelessly, as a leader, you don't even pay attention to detail. You just come to church and after that, you've gone. You can see nothing. You can observe nothing. I mean, can you enter your house and something is not in place and you don't see it? Pay attention to details. Details, instruction. God told Moses, go and speak to the rock. Speaking to the rock and striking the rock is not the same thing, even though they will produce the same result. I know sometimes people are crazy about result. What they are looking for is result. Let me just go get it. Now, if I say all the leaders, all the group in the church should produce 5 naira each, and I said, let all the group produce that 5 naira by contributing each person. And then a leader wakes up and says, I will produce the 5 naira. I don't need to contribute. Do what you say. You may bring the result, but you have ignored the details of the instruction. Because the instruction carries something alongside with it. I said, me, I will just go and bring the 5 naira, and then you go bring the 5 naira. But the detail of the instruction was that let everybody do what? Participate. It is not the result that is most important. It's the detail. Pay attention to detail. Understand what must be done and what mustn't be done. The ark of God was to fall, and a man stretched his hand to help the ark, and God killed him. What is God talking about? There is a detail about this thing. Forget about the good intention. Forget about what you want to do. Pay attention to details. So watch. As a leader, be very watchful. Enter a place, observe. Learn how to learn. Learn how to listen to what is said and what is not said. When you listen to somebody speak, there are things that he will say you will hear. And there are things that he would not say, but he was supposed to have said, you will still learn to listen to the things that he has not said. Praise God. He didn't say it, but you have listened to it. You can infer it. That's the intuition of a leader. And I pray that God will give us such spirit.